Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear members of Holy Cross, friends and family of Renee, and especially our confirmand, you, Renee. For the past few years, both here at Holy Cross and at Trinity, you have been taught God's saving truth. Using Luther's small catechism, your pastors and teachers have taught you the basic truths of Christian doctrine, the basics of God's Word. Some of it was easy for you, and some not so easy. Some of it you easily understood, and much of it you didn't. A perfect example on this Trinity Sunday is the doctrine of the Trinity. We just got done confessing our faith together using the words of the Athanasian. Perhaps the Athanasian Creed does as well as humanly possible of explaining this doctrine of a triune God. There is one God, and yet three persons in that one God. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. The Son is begotten from the Father, but from eternity. Both the Father and the Son send out the Holy Spirit, but none is greater than the other. They may be three persons, but they're one. Co-equal, co-eternal. What sense does that make? It doesn't. That's just the thing. There are many teachings throughout Scripture that don't make much sense. There are many teachings throughout Scripture that are hard for our weak and feeble and sinful human minds to understand, to fully grasp. So why believe it? Because that's what God says in His holy word. So we must cast reason aside, for it plays no part in faith. But that's hard to do sometimes, because you're flesh. A sinful human being born from sinful parents. Flesh gives birth to flesh, Jesus said. And as a river cannot rise higher than its source, so you cannot rise higher than your parents. Your parents were sinners who gave birth to you, and that means you will always remain a sinner. There is nothing you can do to get rid of your sin. You will always remain forever a sinful human being. There's nothing you can do to pay for your sin. There's nothing you can do to make up for your sinful state and your sinful actions. No, you deserve to be condemned for your sins. And having this sinful flesh, which leads to actual sins, also means that you're not in tune with God. You lost the image of God. You no longer know His will. When you were born, you didn't know who God was. You didn't know what He did for you. You didn't know anything about His Word, and you didn't care to know. You were born as His enemy. There's nothing inside of you that was inclined towards God. His Word was foolishness to you. Impossible for you to understand. There are so many teachings, including the Trinity, that are contrary to reason. What does your sinful flesh want to do? It wants to reject those teachings. Anything that doesn't make sense, anything that is impossible to us, well, we pass off, our sinful nature passes off as nothing more than a fable, a story made up by men. A doctrine that doesn't go in line with our way of life, or what is contrary to our reason, well, we try to explain it in a way that we can understand, or explain it in a way that it goes along with the way our sinful flesh wants to live. But But when we try to use our reason to understand Scripture, when we try to make sense of what is impossible to understand, then we change the pure Word of God. That's why you are brought to the baptismal font. Your mom knew the state into which you were born when you were baptized. When you were born, so she brought you to be baptized. It was in your baptism that the Holy Spirit brought you to faith in Jesus Christ as your one and only Savior. It was in your baptism that your old Adam was drowned, that your sins were washed away, and you were clothed with the righteous robe of Christ. Flesh may give birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. In your baptism, the Holy Spirit gave you a new life as you are born again into Christ. No longer are you God's enemy. No longer are you condemned because of your sin, for your faith given to you in your baptism receives the blessings that Christ won for you through his perfect life, suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus connects baptism to salvation in verse 5. I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. At the end of Mark, he makes the same connection between faith, baptism, and salvation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's about as clear and as simple as it gets. Those who are baptized will be saved through the faith in Jesus given to them at their baptism. But those who don't believe won't be saved because there's nothing to receive, to grasp, to hold on to the blessings offered to us. The blessings won for you by Christ. And what did Christ do? He saved you. By coming down, by being both God and man at the same time, another doctrine that doesn't make sense. By living a perfect life, by suffering and dying on the cross, taking your sins upon himself, giving you his perfect life, and rising from the dead 3 days later. John 3:16. One of the most well-known passages in the Bible, a passage you have memorized for years, Renee, says that very thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The Father sent the Son into the world to take your place, that you might live forever with him through faith in him. It's as simple as that. If only it were that simple. You see, even though your sins were washed away and your old Adam was drowned through baptism, your sinful flesh still remained. And your sinful flesh wants nothing to do with Christ. It wants nothing to do with his word. And for the rest of your life, there is a battle. There is a war going on inside of you between the old Adam, your sinful nature, and the new Adam, your new creation, given to you through your baptism. You must daily drown that old Adam who tries to overtake you. But it's not just your old Adam that you'll be fighting for the rest of your life. Unless you plan on attending well schools throughout the rest of your life, at school you will face attacks. Your teachers will espouse evolution, as opposed to what the Bible says about how God created the world in 6 days by his power and might, with his word. Others will attack you for being stupid and gullible, for believing such nonsense, for believing things that are foolish and contrary to reason and impossible to ever happen. Others will call you intolerant or old-fashioned or maybe even bigoted. You may even face temptation from your friends or family. And then your sinful flesh tells you you don't have to put up with this. It's just not worth it. It's just better to downplay your faith or not make your faith as so important in your life. You cave in here and there until God and His Word become less and less of a priority. And soon you're left to fend for yourself. The old Adam takes over then. A few verses after our text, Jesus tells us what is in all of us by nature. Men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. We aren't inclined to do what is good and right. Instead, we are inclined to do what is wicked and horrible and sinful in the eyes of the Lord. If we don't beat back our sinful nature on a daily basis, if we don't drown that old Adam, we will succumb to this sinful nature as we chase after darkness. So how do we beat back that old Adam? How do we drown that sinful nature? Well, we can't on our own. But the Holy Spirit does it for us, and the Holy Spirit works through the gospel. Through the Word, He increases your knowledge of Him. And as you grow in knowledge of Him, He strengthens your faith. Through the sacrament of Holy Communion, which you will now have the privilege of partaking of, He gives you a tangible forgiveness as He forgives you as you receive His true body and blood in, with, and under the bread and wine. So if you want to remain in the one true faith, if you want your baptism to be any good at all, it is necessary for you to remain in the means of grace. To read your Bible at home, to attend church regularly, to be regular at Bible study, to partake of the Lord's Supper whenever you have the opportunity. And as you do so, the Holy Spirit will work through that gospel and keep you in the one true faith. But you know that. You've been hearing that same message for years. All your teachers at Trinity, all your pastors here and at Trinity have taught the same thing. It is necessary to remain in the one true faith only through the means of grace. You know that. Every confirmand knows that. And yet there are so many confirmands who fall away. It seems as if they didn't listen. But the truth is, it's not that they didn't listen. They knew it and believed. But they didn't make their faith a priority. Now, it's not as if they were confirmed and knew that eventually they would become an unbeliever. That eventually they would fall away from the one true faith. They had good and sincere intentions, but their faith did not become a priority. They left the door open for their sinful nature and the devil, and it got the best of them. They were in the Word less and less, and their faith was weakened. They no longer made regular use of His Word, and they didn't use the one weapon they have to beat back their old battle. They fell away. Statistics tell us that more than half of confirmands will eventually fall away from the one true faith. Perhaps it's because so many people see confirmation as a graduation. Now here you are, you studied for years, you have been taught God's Word through Luther's Skoll Catechism, and now you're getting confirmed, and now you no longer have to study God's Word. Right? Well, not at all. You've been taught the basics of God's Word, the basics of Christian faith. You are still young in your faith. There is still much that you do not know. Learning God's Word is a lifelong responsibility. Growing in your faith and knowledge of Him is something that will never end throughout the rest of your life. Let those who have fallen away serve as a warning to you. If you think you are standing firm, Paul says, be careful that you do not fall. There's a battle that will go on inside of you each and every day. The old man who doesn't care about God's word, who wants to reject it, who doesn't want to obey God, and the new man created in you at your baptism, who loves God, who believes in God, and wants to do what is right. The one who will win out is the one you will feed more. Feed that new man through the gospel, so that through faith you will be saved. That's what the triune God wants to have. That's why the Father sent the Son into the world. As we read in verse 17, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Triune God does not want anyone to perish, and that's why all three are active in our salvation. The Father sent the Son into the world. The Son lived a perfect life, suffered and died and rose from the dead, and it is the Holy Spirit who works through the gospel that leads you to believe and receive the blessings that Christ won for you. There are many teachings throughout Scripture that you don't comprehend now and you never will this side of heaven. In your sinful nature, the world and the devil will use that to try to convince you to reject God's word completely. Daily drown that old Adam. With the only means you have, with the only weapon powerful enough to defeat it. The gospel. The Holy Spirit then, working through that gospel, will strengthen your faith and lead you to remain in Him all the days of your life. Eternal life is yours now already, and eternal life in heaven with your triune God awakens. And as you remain in the gospel, you can be assured that you will live with Him in heaven forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.